on to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit, that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's be seated as we listen to the reading.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 27 responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I receive, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
To behold the fair beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
For in the day of trouble, he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling.
Even now he lifts up my head, and above my enemies round about me.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing in the music to the Lord.
Hearken to my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me, and answer me.
You speak in my heart, Lord, say speak my face, your face.
Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant in displeasure.
You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading, a reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I have baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptize anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message above about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the word of the Lord. The Holy
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went from there. He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
From the prophet Isaiah, our first reading, we heard, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." And then Matthew quotes that prophet Isaiah, and so we hear it again. "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned." This image of light dispelling the darkness is very prevalent in sacred scripture. We hear so often about light shattering the darkness. In one of John's letters, he says that God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. And from our very beginning of sacred scripture, from that first book of Genesis, we hear God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. One of the things that I like about where Don and I live is that every night, all during the summer, we can see the fireworks from SeaWorld. I can set my clock by it. 9:45, I can hear the first bangs. And I'm still, after a year plus, I still am drawn out the door. And I stand on the front porch. I can also see it from the office window. But I like to stand outside and see that beautiful surprise and blast of light and color. And I will admit that about half the time as I'm standing out there, I'm saying, "Ooh, ah," when that flash of light with the fireworks. In the beginning, there was only darkness. And in that darkness and silence, suddenly God spoke, and there was an explosion of light. And God looked at that light and said, "That's good. That's beautiful." God said, "Ooh, ah, it's beautiful." Did you grow up with watching fireworks with your family on the 4th of July? After you get rid of the lady fingers and the sparklers, and then the parents, the adults, bring out those big Roman candles and those floating fountains that are so beautiful. And as they start to explode, the whole crowd says, ooh, ah. You know, there's something international about that. Doesn't matter what language we speak. People all across the globe, when they see fireworks, say, ooh, ah. Yesterday was the beginning of Chinese New Year's, and they had a little thing on the news. Biggest holiday for the people in China. And they use fireworks. And in China, they say in Chinese, ooh, ah. So I know I can speak Chinese now. I saw it on television last night. No matter what the language, no matter what the nationality, we speak the same language. Because no matter what the language or what the nationality, we are made in the image of God. God who is light. God in whom there is no darkness at all. Because there is that spark of God in each one of us, we are attracted and pulled to the light. When we see those exploding lights in the sky, we say with recognition, ooh, ah, God made the light, and the light is within us as well. We are made in the image of God, who made the light and saw that it was good. I was talking with Jennifer and John Smart, and they were telling me of little Evan's response when they plugged in the Christmas tree light. His head just turned, and he was mesmerized by the lights on that Christmas tree. Those little eyes lit up, and the eyes said, ooh and ah, and he couldn't get enough of it. He couldn't take his eyes off of that Christmas tree with the bright lights, and he wanted to get closer and see what it was all about. What is it about human beings that we're so attracted and fascinated by light? When we have chapel time with the preschool children, I light the candle. The children sit back in the choir area, and we light the candle, and as soon as the candle is lit, those children just focus on that flame. There's something about that light that just draws them. Bring a birthday cake into a gathering of children, and they all focus on those burning candles. What is it that draws us to the light? Children all over the world are drawn to the light. Did you see the full moon on Christmas night? It was so gorgeous. I made Don come outside and look. It was beautiful. There's something in that light that draws us as human beings to take a look, to just take it in. Every night, on most evenings, as the sun is setting, there are numbers of people standing on the cliff saying ooh and ah as they watch the light and the color of the sunset. What is it in us that makes us so fascinated by light? It's because we are made in the image of God. God who is light, God in whom there is no darkness at all, that divine spark that's in all people. God is light, and so we're attracted to that light. But if that's true, then I think the opposite is true as well. Because we're made in the image of God, and because we're so naturally attracted to light, that means that we don't like the darkness. I asked the children this morning, as we started our first service, I asked them if they went into a dark room, said, what would you do? What would be the first thing you would do if you walked into a dark room? And one child said, scream. And another one said, turn on a flashlight, bring a lantern, light a candle, turn on the light. No one said, enjoy the darkness. There's something in us that wants to dispel the darkness. When you are shopping for a house or a new apartment, one thing, at least this is true for me, if it's light and airy, when I walk into the room and say, this is a nice place, very light, there's something that we don't like about darkness. There's something that we don't care for. Some people have what is called seasonal affective disorder, SAD. It's a disease of depression that comes about because there isn't enough sun and there isn't enough light in someone's life. We don't suffer from it in Southern California. They do in Fargo. Lots of people get depressed in Fargo. We need sun. We need light because we are made in God's image. God, who is light, we have that natural attraction. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those who live in the in deep darkness, on them the light has shined. The prophet Isaiah wrote those words when the people were in exile. The people who were so depressed and worn out by war and poverty. These were people who were ready to throw in the towel and call it quits. And Isaiah says to them, the light has shined. The light is shining. The presence of God, the brightness of God's presence is in your life. Rise and shine. For the presence of God is shining. Isaiah didn't write those words to people who were living in prosperity. Isaiah didn't write those words to King David after numerous military victories, or to King Solomon, who was the most wealthy of all at that time. Isaiah wrote those words to people who were depressed, living in poverty, who were very disappointed and discouraged with their lot in life. Can those words have any meaning for us 3,000 years after they were written? I think they can. I don't know anyone who is lucky enough to go through their whole life without meeting some bumps and points of darkness and depression or sadness. Even children know that there are peaks and valleys in life. We all have ups and downs, and there are times in our lives when there's more down than up. When we're finding ourselves at the point of depression or maybe deep into it, it's at that point that these words of Isaiah are spoken to us. Rise, shine, your light has already come. God's glorious presence is shining on you. You might be so depressed that you say to God, I don't feel like rising and shining. I don't feel like getting up and going. I don't feel much like beaming out the bright light of Jesus Christ. It's at that point that the Lord himself reaches down and pulls us up and points us to the light, shows us again the presence of God in our life, reminds us that we are made in God's image with that divine spark of light in us, that we are indeed the baptized, precious children of God, that we are held in God's hands. It's at that point when it seems the darkest that we can see the light. We don't do fireworks at noon. We do fireworks at night. God's light can be seen clearest, I think, in our lives when there is that darkness and that depression. God's presence shining in the darkness of our life. There's a lot of things, a lot of reasons that people get depressed. Lots of things in life pull us down. The death of a spouse or a loved one, the loss of a marriage or the messiness of a relationship, illness or accident that takes a hold of our bodies, the loss of self-esteem through addiction or setbacks in our work, misunderstandings with our coworkers or family members, just a mess of a situation that we find ourselves in. The list is way too long on reasons and situations that can cause one to be depressed and find yourself sitting then in darkness and in gloom. But God reaches in to the rubble of our life, reaches in to the darkness of our depression and pulls us up and says, rise and shine. Your light has already come. God doesn't take away the darkness. God doesn't take away the depression and the gloom. But God shines his light ever brighter into our light, into our life. So what do we make of this? What does it mean? First of all, it means that God's spark is within us. God's light is already in us. You are created in the image of God. God has formed you in his image. God who is light. God's divine light is shining in you. That spark of God's own self, God's own brightness is in you. And that shines through in the darkness of your life. God created you to reflect his own light, his own love. But even more than that, this means that the light of Jesus Christ is available to us. Jesus Christ is the light that guides us and leads us. Christ is the light that invites us to follow him, to be caught in the net of God's love. We who are the baptized children of God are filled with this light, the light of Jesus Christ that is alive within you, that gives you the strength and the energy to rise and shine. The light of Jesus Christ within you gives you the strength and the energy to shine light into the dark places in your world. The light of Jesus Christ that gives you the strength and the energy to see the light in others who are in darkness and to say with all of God's people, rise, shine. To say with all of God's people, ooh, ah, the beauty of God and the wonder of God's light within us. And within each one, we have the strength and the energy because of that light of Jesus Christ within us to say, thanks be to God for that light. Amen.